Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another of these episodes when we take our Louisville Magazine column, Smiley's Picks, into the studio. And I'm particularly delighted to have an old friend and colleague from golden years, John Jory, former producing director of Actors Theatre of Louisville, who's back in town for Sense and Sensibility. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm always pleased to be here.
And this Jane Austen, I can hardly say obsession, but this Jane Austen interest of yours strikes me as one of theatre's great ironies, because of course you're best remembered in Louisville, but best admired in Louisville, for creating the Humana Festival of New American Plays. So here we are back in the 1811s with what is, after all, a comedy of manners, is it not?
Well, it is indeed. And actually, Thompson, while I was in Louisville, I was reading 200 to 300 new plays a year, and so I became totally illiterate. And since that time, I've been trying to catch up on the rest of the world prior to the 20th century. So when I finally came upon Austen, without which my marriage probably would have ended, Marcia, when she found out I really hadn't read Austen, was horrified. So I read Austen and I thought, actually, you know, these have structures which could easily be plays. So Miss Austen and I have been having a desperate affair for about 4 years now. And as I've said to you before we started, I'm just finishing my fourth, which is Persuasion. But Sense and Sensibility has been particularly entertaining for me because it's really the only book with dual heroines. And she very sensibly took what is part of every human being, our passion and our common sense, and split them into two characters, Marianne being the passion and Eleanor being the common sense. And Miss Austen, quite wisely, though she has a certain admiration for the passion, I think has a greater admiration for the common sense.
I had, when I was writing my Louisville Magazine column, I reflected that you have directed in Louisville most of the major tragedies, and one remembers with immense gratitude some truly towering Shakespeares and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes one feels like taking the old advice, stick to comedy, my boy. In a sense, there's something about comedy, not necessarily in the situation comedy sense, but comedy as a portrait of, what is it, the human condition, that's truer and deeper.
Well, that is, I think that is so in a way. And Miss Austen does all well. She writes character well. I think she has a wonderful story sense. She strings it out. You know, she doesn't give you the finale until the finale. And having done a lot of new plays, one of the great problems with them is they're, you know, so often they're over 20 minutes before the play is.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes sure that the story ends when the story is going to end. But the character work, as we both know, is just fabulous, and that's why she translates so well to the stage. They're just wonderful, you know, funny, conflicted, desperate, self-satisfied humans.
Mm-hmm. I know somebody in his advice to his son, Chesterfield, or someone like that, said, read all the classics, but read them before you're 22.
Oh, boy, did I not follow the advice.
Well, I did to a certain extent in the sense that I haven't read very much since. I mean, much Dickens or much Austen.
Right.
But from a previous experience, I mean, seeing Sense and Sensibility, I think, will give us an extraordinary insight into a very rich and now ignored vein of Anglophone theatre, if you like, or Anglophone dialogue.
Well, I think that's true. She, the dialogue is wonderful, and my goal is always to have as much Austen, the master, and as little Jory, the neophyte, as possible in these works.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of use all. It's sort of like, you know, making soup from buffalo hooves. When I'm lacking in terms of the dialogue itself, I've found that there's a good portion of the narration which could serve as dialogue and actually sounds like dialogue in an interesting way. Still, every once in a while, you have to write a bit. Probably the least I ever had to write was for Pride and Prejudice, and Sense and Sensibility is practically all Austen. But the others take a little more work on the part of the adapter.
I think. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned Pride and Prejudice, because that was your last Austin here, and I remember two or three years ago, and for me it's one of the highlights even of the 30 years prior to that when you were director. There's something about actors on top of its form when it gets the costumes right and the lighting right and the casting right, and I hate to use the old term synergy, but everything clicks.
Well, and most of us, before we drowned in realism, really, we wanted to go into the theater so we could wear wonderful clothes and say wonderful words and, if possible, ride horses and shoot at people. But yes, you can't do that as much on the stage. But there is really, I think, an energy created by really first-rate dress-up that you don't get any other way. For instance, I was amazed that most of the films, which we very much adore and should, recent Austin films, actually the percentage of actual Austin dialogue is much lower than you would think.
I could believe that.
For one thing, because in film, they have to, when they do Sense and Sensibility, there's probably only 20% of the language I'm able to use in the play because of its visual nature, And they tend to want to connect with that audience by not having the dialogue sound at all strange to them.
Yes. Right?
Whereas I think the pleasure on the stage is you are carried into another era. The language carries you into another era. And she's very witty. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. It shows my naivete. I was surprised at just how funny she is.
Yes.
She's very funny. And at the same time, she's touching. Certainly it's in a sentimental vein. But I find the audiences are sort of longing for a sentimental vein. I don't think they mind it and say, we don't want any of that nasty sentiment. I think they actually are pleased to be there for that very reason.
Yes. We were recently talking about opera and the two of us and about updatings and stuff like that. You're never tempted to update an Austin to 20th century clothes.
No, I think, gosh, don't you think you would lose so much of the pleasure?
Yes.
Because actually, Austin, this was amusing, Thompson. We were doing Pride and Prejudice, I think, in Arizona, and I was wandering out during the intermission listening to the people ahead of me, as I always did, to see if they hate everything they've seen. And one lady turned to the other and said, well, actually, she said, this is the only Shakespeare I've ever enjoyed. So there, I think one of the things about Austin is that you can penetrate the language immediately, and yet it's exotic. It's not like you have to go to the footnotes to understand, in most cases, what is said.
Yes. I think the problem with updating also is that the mores, the manners, the morals, the habits in which these pieces are grounded, be it La Traviata or Sense and Sensibility, are so utterly out of place in this day and age that a girl would give up her beloved for some whim or other, that if you change the period, you skew the morals, I think.
And particularly the manners, the morals, absolutely, which are a different world than ours. But the manners are very interesting to the dramatist, because the manners provide literally the structure for that society, and the only way that those small societies, country villages and squires at all, could survive was because the manners were absolute. And then in the play, when people break through the manners, it's a real theatrical moment when they begin to actually fight with each other. You kind of... You're surprised, because it's obviously contravenes what's keeping everything running, and then usually whatever it is submerged back into the manners. It's sort of like watching the Loch Ness Monster. Do you know what I mean?
I do indeed.
Out of the placid water comes the, the large head. And it's true, I think, with Austin's manners, too.
You had a brilliant, 31-year tenure with Actors Theatre. Your most famous creation, of course, we said earlier, the Humana Festival. Did you ever feel at any time that you'd created a monster?
Oh, yes, absolutely. For one thing, we were doing some 17 plays a year, something no mortal should do and no mortal can do well. So that, in a certain sense, it was ultimately a little bit too much for me.
Well, let's get in the commercial plug for Sense and Sensibility. It opens on August the 30th, a great run of nearly a month. And the number to call, of course, for tickets is 584-1205. My guest today has been John Jory, former producing director of Actors Theatre, returning to direct Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. John, thank you very much.
You are very welcome.